Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveil Christ to the World broadcast. Before I begin today's message, which I've entitled Our Full Portion, let's just take a moment to join our hearts in prayer. Father, we bless you for all that you have given us. We bless you, Lord, for all the bountiful benefits that you extend to us. Lord, we will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. That's what David said. He said, "What shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits unto me?" And Father, we thank you that cup of salvation which you have poured out to us is in total and complete and encompassing it for every aspect of our lives. And Lord, we just want to honor you. We want to give you praise. And Lord, as I would lift now the needs of those who are listening, Father, we are living in dark and perilous times, and we know we are in continual warfare. The enemy does all that he can to discourage and depress and to defeat if he can. But Father, we rest in the accomplished victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we come from a place of victory, not needing to secure the victory, but because you have accomplished every aspect of our redemption, we stand in the completed work of Jesus Christ. When he uttered those words, "It is finished," it was complete, and nothing that we can do can add anything to that. So, Lord, we praise you, we bless you, and I thank you, Lord, for ministering to needs spiritually, emotionally, physically, circumstantially. And Lord, we honor you that you are our God, that regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what we might be going through. And Lord, you were a man. You understand the turmoil of emotions that can sometimes just cause our inner being to be just in a state of chaos. But Father, right now I speak peace to emotional storms. And Lord, I thank you for the very peace of God that peace shall rule our hearts and minds through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grant your presence right now, Lord. Grant your strength. And we give you honor and praise for it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. When we look at what Jesus accomplished through his blood sacrifice at Calvary, the pouring out of the blood of the perfect Lamb of God who was slain before the foundation of the earth, that our Lord secured for us our full and complete redemption. And we, unlike the people of God under the old covenant, they had to bring animal sacrifices into the tent of meeting or into the tabernacle to have their sins covered, that great day of atonement where the high priest was able to go into the holy place just once a year and offer that blood sacrifice. We now, under that new and better covenant, can, by bending our hearts and repenting of whatever sin, we can have forgiveness. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So we don't ever live in a state of sin. We do not willingly sin, but if we should fall, we have that blessed assurance. But under the old covenant, they had to bring animal sacrifices, and there are portions in the Old Testament, I'm thinking now of Leviticus, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 19, and the 6th chapter of Leviticus, 1 through 30. I might just read a few of those verses, which express God's commands, God's statutes regarding what would happen if his people sinned. For example, in the second verse of, well, let me go over to the fifth chapter, the word says, if any soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast or a carcass of an unclean cattle or the carcass of unclean creeping things, and if it be hidden from him, he also shall be unclean and guilty. Or if he touch the uncleanness of man, whatsoever uncleanness it be, that a man shall be defiled withal, and it be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, in other words, once becomes aware of it, then he shall be guilty. Or if a soul swear, pronouncing with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce with an oath, and if it be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, then shall he be guilty in one of these. Or, for example, in verse 15, if a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance, it was possible to sin and not be aware of it at that moment. Let me go on and read you that verse. If he commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks. Going now to chapter 6, verse 2, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, or have found that which was lost, and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely, if any man of all these that a man doeth sinneth therein, then it shall be because he has sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took. And, of course, then there he shall bring a trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish out of the flock. So there were very precise laws and statutes that a person had to follow if they committed a sin. And we look back to the opening pages of the Bible, and we saw in Genesis 6 chapter verse 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And we see, of course, that because of that, God set a great flood to cleanse the earth of that wickedness and of that polluted seed, because Satan was trying, as is declared in the sixth chapter, that he wanted to pollute the bloodline of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in 1 Kings 8:46, the Bible tells us that there isn't a man born that has not sinned. Isaiah in chapter 53 and verse 6 declares, all we like sheep have gone astray. Beloved, there's not a one of us, even if in comparison to the world standards, we may have led a fairly, quote, good life, all of us have sins of unrighteousness. There's not one man that can stand justified before the Lord. We were born in sin and original sin, and good works and self-righteousness cannot atone for our sins. Isaiah 64 and 6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. The Apostle Paul tells us, going now to the New Testament in Romans 3:23, that we all have sinned and come short of God's glory. In 1 John 1 and 8, the apostle says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And then in 2 Timothy 3:13, the Bible states that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And so, beloved, obviously sin is something that we have to deal with in this fallen state in which we are in, this earthly state. Praise God, when we get to heaven, we will no longer have to deal with our sin nature. In fact, I remember hearing a testimony recently of someone who had gone to heaven, and the sense of joy and relief that he no longer had to deal with that sin nature, that tendency towards sin, that which is entitled, as far as the Bible is concerned, our flesh or carnal nature. And with the inner man, our heart does not sin because we follow after the principles of the Lord. But even as good Christians, even those who are so faithful in church attendance, they can be robbed of their full portion of a fully victorious life in Christ because they allow what the Bible terms as the little foxes to creep in and destroy the vine. And those little foxes, if you will, eat at the roots of their salvation experience. As we looked at just a few of the sins that a man could sin under the Old Covenant, for example, in Leviticus 5:1, it's the sin of silence. If a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing, and it is a witness, whether he has seen it or known of it, and if he doesn't utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. Basically, that's keeping quiet when you know something and it is necessary that you reveal what you saw, in other words, to be a true witness. But how many times could we possibly be guilty of that? How many times have you heard someone disgrace the name of Christ and you kept silent because you didn't want people around you to think that you were a religious fanatic? Or perhaps how many times have you stood and listened to another Christian, another church member perhaps, wag their tongue about some of your brothers and sisters in the Lord or about this preacher or that preacher and didn't lovingly correct them for their maliciousness? Proverbs 25 and 23 says, "The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue." We have to stand up for what is right, and sometimes we can offend or sin by being silent. Well, we're just beginning to look at some of the things that we can be guilty of as Christians, and I, because of my time, must bring this broadcast to a close, and I invite you to tune in tomorrow's broadcast as we continue on. And as I bring this broadcast to a close, as I always do, I invite you, if you have prayer needs, feel free to write and share those needs. This is a ministry of prayer, intercession, and correspondence. And when I receive your letter, I personally will pray for you and send back a letter through the postal service, which I know will be a blessing to your heart. God love you. Thank you for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.